you know, I look back on my life and I can see who the agents are now. You know, when I was going through the process, I couldn't see them. You know, one of the signs of an agent is they want you to listen to country music or rock and roll music or some kind of music of the world. You know, it's just, see, they want, this is what the devil wants, and he works through these people. The devil wants you to have lyrics stuck in your mind instead of Bible verses. A lot of people say, I remember I'd say something about study the Bible, memorize some. They say, I can't memorize the Bible. Well, you can memorize that song, can't you? So they were either lying to me or lying to themselves, you know. Can't, never could, because they don't want it. It's just, how bad do you want it? Do you want to memorize some Bible verses? How bad do you want it? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abides on him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Wouldn't you rather memorize Bible verses than some song that's a temporal? These are eternal. These are eternal truths. Why would you put more energy on a man-made song than you would the Word of God? Don't make sense. So I can look back and I see the agents. The agents wanted me to go to the bar. The agents wanted me to date an unsaved woman. The agents wanted me to have fun. Let's go have some fun, you know, instead of working and getting out of debt. And you know, when you're married to one who doesn't really want to know the Bible, all you do is study the Bible. What do you mean? I go to work, come home, we go out to eat, and I get caught up and study my Bible. It's a distraction. But they want you to have fun. They want you to do some kind of hobby, like go join the chess club. or go join a bowling, what do you call them things, where the bowling league. you ever been in there while they're bowling league? It's just a bunch of drinking and a bunch of cursing and a bunch of fighting and yelling and comparing them. You know, it's just ridiculous. If I was going to join the bowling league, I'd go be a professional bowler. And if I was going to have a hobby, I'd be doing something professional, some kind of professional sport, try to make money off it, shooting pool or something like that. If I was going to do a hobby, I'd go buy me a pool table, learn how to shoot pool, and become a professional pool player. But I look back, and the Pentecostals, they would try to get you all caught up. They would try to get you caught up in every wind of doctrine. I look back to the legalists. They always put you under some kind of rule. You better not miss a day of church, or you're not right with God. Wait a minute. Now, Sunday morning, you said, I'm right with God by faith alone and Jesus alone. He that hath the Son hath life. What are the works of God to believe on his Son whom God has sent? So how do I get right with God? Believe on Jesus whom God has sent. So I saw all these distractions and all these contradictions of people who claim to want your best, but they were trying to put me back under legalism. They were trying to get me to set my affections below instead of above. They were trying to keep me from seeing past the matrix. They were trying to keep me in a box. They wanted me to work, become a what's the word? Not necessarily workaholic, but just focus on stuff down here, you know. They wanted me to learn some kind of new theory, you know. Quantum physics, string theory, which I enjoyed learning that stuff, but it came back to the fact that it all points to Jesus. They want you to focus on a hot rod. Get your car, your hot rod going. Focus on riding a bicycle. What kind of shoes you're gonna buy? Focus on football. Yeah, they want you to be all caught up in football. Waste your time with. Who cares what it's red versus blue? That's all. I don't care if the Cowboys win, the Redskins. I don't care who wins. They're all red versus blue. They're all the same. Hello. It's ridiculous, to be honest with you. They wanted you to focus on politics. I remember that. They wanted you to focus on politics. To join the Republican Party and go to the rallies and all that. They wanted you to play these little, get a hobby like these little cars that they race around a track, you know. It's all about distractions and focused on things down here. These are agents and they claim to be believers, but their affection is below. Let me say something else that I thought about today. Well, it's kind of off track, but it's all connected anyway. The Bible says, be thankful in all things. I was thinking about that today. I need to be more thankful that he showed me all this and that, you know, be content that you can breathe, you know. If you got clothes, a job, a roof, if you got some food, you got your health, be thankful. If you can see, be thankful. You can choose some food, be thankful. If you got some assistance, be thankful in all things, you know. And the reason I say that is because the word T-H-A-N-K is the same etymology word as T-H-I-N-K. And so what happens is when you're thankful, you're actually thinking back to the cross because it all started there. You're thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. So every time you say thank you, it's pointing back to the cross. You're thinking back. Think about it. Why would you be thankful for anything? Because God, the Bible talks about the grace of life. He gave you life, you know, and if you're trusting in Jesus, he gave you eternal life. So it's nothing but thankfulness because you have eternal life. So therefore, when you're being persecuted, be thankful. God already knew it before you even have faced off with it because Jesus walked it before you and the solution's already the answer and the solution and the problem's already solved. The solution is solved before it even when you're being persecuted, God already made a way of escape. This is the deal that nobody's going to tell you. When you have all these questions, right, about eternal security and certain doctrines and certain things, you know, you have all these questions, right? Now, when you don't have the answer, all the false teachers will show up. They'll try to show up and get you confused and believe to pull you into their cult, right? But see, those who have truth, because the truth abides with you forever, you don't have to. I used to get mad and afraid, and I was all worried. But listen to this: the truth abides with you forever, right? So you don't have to be afraid, because you got the Holy Spirit, and you got the Word of God, and you rightly divide it, and they can't deceive you. The only way the narcissist is able to deceive you is you believe them over the Bible, because the red flags are everywhere. The liar. They're contradicting themselves, right? Without hypocrisy, the Bible talks about. They contradict themselves. And you'll say, well, I just saw you contradict yourself. Woman, you're a liar. You're cheating or something. It's not adding up. No, I'm not. You're blah, blah, blah. And throw a bunch of drama and distract and totally distract the situation and go off the deep end that you forgot even what you were even talking about. For real. Instead of having a legit conversation, they go off the deep end. You're contradicting yourself, woman. You're a liar. It's It's all about money. It's all about greed. It's all about getting a baby daddy, getting a free ride down here. You're living in fear, but you try to project that you're not, and you try to put it on somebody else. The game of the narcissist, I think the reason they sent all this craziness here in the last few years is because the narcissistic game was being revealed in a fractal manner. You could actually see it in the businesses, you could see it in the government, you could see it in relationships, you could see it in families, you could see it on jobs. So the narcissistic game was being revealed and everybody was waking up to it. So what they had to do, they had to create a bunch of cognitive dissonance. And they had to create a bunch of distractions, UFOs, viruses, telling you, you better wear a mask. No, you better not. You better wear two masks. No, you don't need a mask. Yeah, you better wear three masks. No. They're using, so what is it? It's MKUltra. So actually the narcissist uses MKUltra mind control. Because it goes back to Genesis 3, because Genesis 3 is the MKUltra game. So gaslighting was being revealed. The future faking was being revealed. The love bombing was being revealed. Everything was being revealed of the game. The corporations, they future fake. They love bomb. Yeah, come on in. You're great. We love you. Come on. The corporations are cults. Just like most of the churches. Come on in, brother. Join the church. But then when you go to another church, they don't talk to you ever again. You didn't leave for necessarily anything bad. You just didn't feel like it. They will never talk to you again. I thought I was your brother. How come you don't talk to me no more? How come you don't talk to me no more? Because you were fake. It was all about the tithes. If I had a church and I was running a church and you joined, hey brother, how you doing? It'd be legit. You go to another church, okay. We'll come over and visit. We'll come over and listen. I'd go to their church. I'd go visit if I was still in that kind of system. Where you going? Yeah, let me go over there and visit, see what they're doing over there. We can all, the two churches can come together and have some fellowship, but they won't do that, see. Comparing themselves to one another. Why don't two Baptist churches meet together? It don't make sense. I thought they were all the body of Christ. Hello? It's just like the corporation. Why don't McDonald's and Burger King meet together and have some fellowship and compare? And because the same reason two Baptist churches don't meet together in fellowship. Two Methodist churches. Because they're all competing with each other. Hello? Comparing themselves with one another, the flesh mind. There's no unity in the body. The body of Christ is not a church building. It's the spiritual body. I don't have to. If I was going down the road and I met somebody who's born again, who goes to a Methodist church, and they were truly born again, that's my brother or sister. I could sit. Let's go have some coffee. Let's talk. We'll see what you know that I don't know. That's what the whole body of Christ is about. Edifying one another. That's Bible. Read it. Find it. Google it. The whole body fitly framed to edify one another. God has given prophets, priests, evangelists, kings, teachers, all kinds of gifts in the body of Christ to build up. But they always want to say, my gift is better than your gift, just like the world. My car is better than your car. My house is better than your house. You see what I'm saying? They're always fighting amongst themselves because it's the flesh mind. They haven't entered into the spirit mind at all. They don't even know what it is. Yeah, they can memorize some verses. Yeah, they can do some good deeds or whatever, but to walk in the spirit has nothing to do with role-based living. They don't even know. I've talked to a lot of people in the Baptist church, in my lifetime, and nobody knew it. Nobody, Nobody knew what walking in the Spirit was. I asked some preachers. They didn't know. They couldn't explain it. So I went directly to God, and He showed me. I had to read Galatians and Ephesians and Romans 6, 7, and 8 over and over and over like 1,000 times. And then Colossians, Ephesians, Galatians, Romans 6, 7, and 8. I read it over and over and over 1,000 times till I wasn't going to give up because I said, something's not right. What does this mean? It was so, so it was God lead me because I didn't even know why it was such a thing on my mind. I thought, what does that mean, walking in the Spirit? What does that mean? And I asked a preacher. I asked a lot of people. I read books on it. I read, what's her name's book? Joyce Meyer's book. There's a few preachers that wrote books about walking in the Spirit. And none of them were right. It just didn't make sense. Walking in the Spirit is just walking by faith. Letting God do the work through you. Keeping short accounts. Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. I claim the blood. I'm get up, shake the dust off, start over. Righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. You just keep getting back up. Because of Jesus, it's all what Jesus did. It has nothing to do with us. Most people think walking in the Spirit is doing something or not doing something. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't go to the movie. Don't do this. They think walking in the Spirit is some kind of rule. Has nothing to do with rules. It's a new creature. You don't have to tell the new creature to love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to tell the new creature don't get drunk. You don't have to tell the new creature don't steal. Because you're above the law. Because it's the mind of Christ. Because you don't want to do anything that hurts somebody else. But when you do something that's contrary to the Spirit walk of faith, then you go to God, ask for forgiveness. You don't beat yourself up. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The new creature, Christ does the work in you. Let's say somebody has a problem with they can't drink. They have a problem with drinking. Well, you have to renew your mind that alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol gets you in trouble. Alcohol makes you feel bad. Alcohol destroys your body. Alcohol is the worst thing that you could probably do. It destroys brain cells. Alcohol is actually gasoline for your car. And so why would you, unless you needed what's that stuff that people take sometime to, they get sick and they go and it's like a little bottle, little cup you drink, NyQuil. Unless you need it. The Bible says, he told Paul, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And they said, give wine to those that are perishing, right? And so my point is, there's a time and season for everything. But if you have a problem, ask God to remove it, whatever it is. And the way you do it is renew your mind. I'll give you an example. So let's say somebody has a problem with revenge, you know. So how would you overcome revenge? Let's say somebody does something and you automatically say, I'm going to get them back or whatever. How do you get rid of that? Well, the way you do it, you say, okay, it's a long process, but the way you do it is you say, well, every person, you could go back to Cain and Abel. You know, God made man in his image. You can go back to some Bible verses, but one way you can do it is every person is per the Son. So no matter who you face off with, you used to be like that person. You used to think like that. You graduated to the next level. So you, even if it's your enemy, you can give them bread and water because God made them and they just haven't woke up to the fact that God made all man, all mankind, all men, all women. And the reason they're making these bad choices is because they're still in the flesh mind. you could go at it a few different ways, but you're going to have to wake up to the fact that every human that you look at has a head and a body. And so you're actually looking at yourself, but that person took a different path. They were born in a different location, so they took a different path than you. But you could have been in their shoes. They just walked a different path. They made different choices. Most people really don't get saved till their deathbed. They go their whole life going around in circles, around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain, trying to be happy with something down here. Yeah, they'll throw YouTube or Instagram or something. They'll show somebody throwing a football 1,000 feet or kicking a field goal 100 yards, you know, or something. They'll do something like that. And you're like, that has no interest. You get to a point where there's nothing they can do down here that shocks you, draws your attention. It's just to pull you down into the natural realm. Like that episode on Star Trek where the Q, he said he wanted to kill himself. And so they went to the Q continuum, the eternal state. They took a Star Trek crew. It was just a house in the middle of nowhere. And the captain, Janeway, she said, is this the Q continuum? He said, yes, this is the way you could understand it. She said, all it is a road and some telephone poles and a house and these people sitting on the porch and a scarecrow. And so he said, yeah, that's my point. It's the same. And so he was debating with he was trying to explain his case. He says, I played the scarecrow. I've done this. And the other Q who's fighting against him says, we've all done the scarecrow. We've all played the scarecrow. In other words, after you see people kicking 100-yard field goals 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 times, there's no more excitement. After you see somebody throw a long pass and somebody catches on the field, there's no more excitement. After you see somebody do some magic tricks that you've never seen, there's no more excitement. This is why marriages fail. After they've been married a while, the excitement goes away. But if they renewed their inner man, their inner person, if they were communicating spiritually in the inner, if they had an inner circle where they were talking about spiritual things and growing spiritually, it's unlimited growth. It would never get old. The spiritual realm never gets old. But the natural realm is the same old junk over and over and over and over. Once you know how to cut a piece of 2x4, put it on the wall or build you a fence, or you've already done it. You've already played the scarecrow 1,000 times, so it gets old. Once you do about 1,000 Uber rides, you've seen them all. There's nothing new. It gets old. The game of the repeat gets old. So what do you end up doing? You either end up wanting to kill yourself, trying to go back to your youth, or you worship God. And you set your affections above instead of below. Why would God tell you? I used to wonder about this verse too. Set your affections above, not below. What does that mean? Well, it only makes sense if you realize everything below is decaying. Gravity, grave, same word. Everything's going back to the grave, to the dirt, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And so this thing, it's when you're dead and gone, everything's going to be repeating down here. You're going to be in heaven looking down here saying, you don't even need to look down. You already know it. You already know what's going on. the fighting, the arguing, the comparing, the pride, the ego. So you'll be in heaven, praising God, doing something else. Everybody left behind will just keep doing the same stuff. And you'll be glad to be gone. That's why a lot of people looking for the rapture, they've seen it. Why do you think people say, I can't wait for the rapture? Why do they say that? Because they've seen the same junk over and 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 over. They've seen the same drama. No matter what job you take, no matter who you marry, the grass is never greener on the other side because it's the same. Wherever you are, you're still there. If you're over there, you're still there, wherever you are. T-H-E-R-E. The letter T is the cross. H-E-R-E is here. So no matter where you are, you're still here with the letter T. You might be over there, but you're still here. Where are you? You're here with a W. Where are you? Over there with a T. Still here. It's still the word here. H-E-R-E. I'm here. I'm there. I'm here. I'm wherever. Because in Christ, you're everywhere. You're hid in Christ in God. That means you're everywhere. So the singularity is to be in Christ and Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the singularity. If you got saved, you got everything. Who cares if you have to struggle? Who cares if you have to work? Who cares if you have to sweat, blood, sweat, and tears? Who cares if you have to struggle? You've already got everything. You own everything because you're saved. Who cares if you have to start over? Who cares? Who cares if you have to get a new job? You got everything in Christ. You got it all. You got it made. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. You actually know all things in Christ. You just don't know it until He reveals it to you. How many times have you seen the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? You've seen those numbers 1,000 times. They don't change. So you have to ask yourself, what is the number 10 about? Start to pray about that. There's an esoteric meaning behind all the numbers. There's a deep spiritual truth behind all the numbers, all the letters, all the shapes, all the symbols, all the colors. The color red points back to the blood. The color blue goes back to law. Look it up in the Old Testament. God told them to put a blue fringe on their garments to remind them of the law, the letter of the law. When the blood is in your body, it's blue. The flesh, law. When you cut yourself, it bleeds, turns red. The grace of God, the blood, the healing power. That's why they used to think, well, if you cut yourself, you heal. You can heal some. They knew some types and shadows back in the day. People don't know types and shadows now. Even though they're living it, they're speaking it. Their nursery rhymes are types and shadows of deeper truth. The old wives' tales point back some deeper truth sometimes. Some of them are just foolish, but most of the time, all your movies and songs point to deeper truths. There's types and shadows coming out of your mouth every time you speak a phrase. Birds of a feather flock together. That's a type and shadow of what? The sheep and the goats. What does God say? My sheep hear my voice. They know me. The goats, they know the goats. The goats hang out with the goats and the sheep hang out with the sheep. And when the sheep thinks a goat is not evil, a lot of times they're being set up to be killed as a Illuminati sacrifice. You know, what was that guy? Gabby and that guy, Laundry. if you look at enough images, you'll see she had a biblical verse on her shirt. He took her out. And then after he took her out and they said he was dead, then there was some artwork, advertisements for a washing machine. I've got a picture on my phone right now. Now he's risen up in the Freemason system because he took out a sheep. Suicide sheep is not your friend on YouTube. They're not your friend. They're trying to say, hey, we're going to kill the sheep. They're trying to set you up, always. The goats always want to kill the sheep. Cain killed Abel, right? That disciple sold Jesus. The goat's always trying to kill the sheep. And that's what the Freemason system is and the Jesuits and all that.